You're listening to Eagle Wings Online Radio, your messianic Christian music alternative.
Like what we do? Share this on your socials and tell everyone.
We hope you get blessed by this narrated sermon podcast from Pastor Chris.
Document title, A Warning Sign. Topic, Do Not Continue. Stop, Must Be Born Again. I'm sure you've had some weeks like we had. Weeks filled with things that went wrong, filled with disappointments. But then, when you're able to look back, and only when you look back, you see a week with some beautiful jewels of unexpected grace and mercy. We indeed had a week like this. Sunday after church, we didn't know it, but the power injector of our internet started to do its own thing. A service technician was finally able to arrive around 11 in the morning on Thursday. Oh yes, this was a whole new thing. We had just been upgraded with our service. That meant technician number two. About 10 minutes after he left, we were both really happy. But then, it happened again. Nothing. Back on the phone again, and a lot of tests with technical support. Then finally on Friday, we had another technician scheduled to come. He called us with great news. He would be at our place around 11 a.m. Impossible. We were at the doctor's for some more testing and wouldn't be back until noon. Okay, he said. Of course, that meant we would now be able to see this gentleman around noon. Yeah, right. It was around 3:45. By now, I had really lost my patience. As someone who has worked in the computer industry, I know the protocols on how to do proper troubleshooting, and the previous gentleman had not impressed me. Here comes technician number three, a friendly gentleman about our age. He introduced himself, and we exchanged information on what had been happening. He started like I would. On one end, the foundation. He began eliminating possibilities, gathering data, and eventually found the solution, solving the problem. Why am I telling you this story? When I started to write, I didn't know, but now I do. Enter Nicodemus. We will return to our story later, and you will see the blessing. This year, we started to see ourselves on the highway of salvation, the highway of holiness, God's highway. It is a wonderful and great road, but it is like a toll road. You need to be a member. You must have made a payment to be on it. So who is this gentleman, Nicodemus? Nicodemus was one of the 71 men that formed the judicial power in Judea during the Roman rule. This judicial power was called the Sanhedrin and received its name from the Mishnah. The 71 men chosen were all wise men, sages selected from the priests, scribes, and local authorities. It is interesting to know that many aspects of the rule and setup of the Sanhedrin can be recognized in our own U.S. Senate and the Supreme Court. Sanhedrin is a late Hebrew representation of the Greek word Synedrion, Synedrion, meaning sitting together as a legislative assembly or senate. As part of the coming back together of the people in the land of Israel, as foretold in prophecy in 2004, a start was made to re-establish the Sanhedrin. All in all, Nicodemus was an important man, known to most people. John chapter 3, verse 1 to 21, Amplified Bible. Now there was a certain man among the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler, a leader, an authority among the Jews, who came to Jesus at night and said to him, Rabbi, we know and are certain that you have come from God as a teacher. For no one can do these signs, these wonder works, these miracles, and produce the proofs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered him, I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, that unless a person is born again, anew from above, he cannot ever see, know, be acquainted with, and experience the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter his mother's womb again and be born?" Jesus answered, "I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, unless a man is born of water and even the Spirit, he cannot ever enter the kingdom of God. What is born from the flesh is flesh, of the physical is physical, and what is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not, do not be surprised, astonished, at my telling you, you must all be born anew, from above. The wind blows, breathes, where it wills, and though you hear its sound, yet you neither know where it comes from, nor where it is going. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered by asking, "How can all this be possible?" Jesus replied, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet do not know nor understand these things? Are they strange to you? I assure you, most solemnly, I tell you, we speak only of what we know. We know absolutely what we are talking about. We have actually seen what we are testifying to. We were eyewitnesses of it. And still, you do not receive our testimony. You reject and refuse our evidence, that of myself and of all those who are born of the Spirit. If I have told you of things that happen right here on the earth, and yet none of you believes me, how can you believe? Trust me, adhere to me, rely on me, if I tell you of heavenly things. And yet no one has ever gone up to heaven, but there is one who has come down from heaven, the Son of Man himself, who is, dwells, has his home in heaven. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert on a pole, so it is necessary that the Son of Man be lifted up on the cross, in order that everyone who believes in him, who cleaves to him, trusts him, and relies on him, may not perish, but have eternal life and actually live forever. For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he even gave up his only begotten, unique Son, so that whoever believes in, trusts in, clings to, relies on, him shall not perish, come to destruction, be lost, but have eternal, everlasting life. For God did not send the Son into the world in order to judge, to reject, to condemn, to pass sentence on the world, but that the world might find salvation and be made safe and sound through him. He who believes in him, who clings to, trusts in, relies on him, is not judged. He who trusts in him never comes up for judgment. For him, there is no rejection, no condemnation. He incurs no damnation. But he who does not believe, cleave to, rely on, trust in him, is judged already. He has already been convicted and has already received his sentence, because he has not believed in and trusted in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He is condemned for refusing to let his trust rest in Christ's name. The basis of the judgment, indictment, the test by which men are judged, the ground for the sentence, lies in this. The light has come into the world, and people have loved the darkness rather than and more than the light, for their works, deeds, were evil. For every wrongdoer hates, loathes, detests the light, and will not come out into the light, but shrinks from it, lest his works, his deeds, his activities, his conduct be exposed and reproved. But he who practices truth, who does what is right, comes out into the light, so that his works may be plainly shown to be what they are, wrought with God, divinely prompted, done with God's help, in dependence upon him. As a member of the Sanhedrin, Nicodemus needed to be very careful about being seen with Jesus, they had been talking about this Nazarene, and it was not in a positive light. He was a controversial individual who did things and said things they had never seen or heard before. Nicodemus, however, wanted to know more, so he visited Jesus at a time when others would not see him, in the dark of the night. Verse 3 starts off with Jesus teaching him the ultimate truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God without being born again. Nicodemus was eager to know more about heaven and how to go there. He kept asking, and Jesus confronted him, not necessarily based on Nicodemus's own recognition of power and knowledge, but he clearly pointed to the Sanhedrin's ignorance when he said in verse 10, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet do not know nor understand these things?" Many in positions of power or justice think they are above the rules that apply to others. Many believe they can take a shortcut. This week we heard about a city lawyer who wanted a multitude of traffic tickets for the Postal Service removed for speeding and red light violations. The justification? The mail must be delivered on time. This form of truth is relative, and for many, it is hard to swallow. But God's truth is absolute. It is the same for each and every person. Together on God's highway, we see people falling by the wayside, left and right. They cannot go any further. Today, we see a toll road portal, and it does not have a cash-only lane. You must have already paid the price. That is why it has a stop sign in front of it with the words written below, "Born again only." Nobody will be able to enter the kingdom of God without being born again. Jesus said, "You are Israel's teacher." It reminds me of Bruce, the minister in the Left Behind movies, a pastor preaching and teaching the words from the book, but never preaching a word from the heart, God's heart. He was left behind and didn't enter the kingdom of God because his heart had never been born again. He had all the book knowledge, but had never received the God knowledge through the birth of the Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He knew the words of God, but had no understanding of God. When Jesus started to explain the words, Nicodemus saw the truth, and he became a friend of Jesus. The tomb in which Jesus was laid was owned by him. When you are born again, you have received the Spirit of Truth, the Spirit of God, whom we know by the name Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. This is the Spirit that makes words come to life, that gives meaning and explanation to the words of God, which are the words of Jesus. The Spirit links the words of old with the words that are new. It brings the word to life. Nicodemus had the teacher explaining the word to him. We don't know the name of the Ethiopian eunuch, but we know he was under Queen Candace's authority and had charge of her treasury. He was lost, like so many people we know. This week, I heard the dreadful words again on the radio that silence many Christians. "Judge not, or judge, lest you be judged." There was a lady who said it was wrong that Gomer Pyle was homosexual and that he needed to change his life or he would go to hell. And then came the backlash. "Oh, you hypocritical Christians, pointing fingers again." Let me rephrase. I love Gomer so much that it would be unbearable to see him miss out on the wedding supper of the Lamb because of his sexual tendencies. When we share God's word and speak his truth, people will see it as judgment. They don't and won't understand that it is not our judgment, but God's judgment that destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. It is God's law that says a man shall not lie with another man. The answer is to deliver the message in a language that people understand. In our secular humanistic society, we cannot isolate one person over another. We cannot say, "You are right, and you are wrong. We cannot say, this is law, and that is not. I cannot drive through a red light, but that postal truck can. Because everything is relative in our society, the concept of hell is erased. All children win a medal. Don't let them face defeat. Don't let them work harder on their soccer or flag football drills. Just declare everyone a winner. What a harsh realization it will be when people start walking on God's highway toward the New Jerusalem, and they reach the toll gate only to be forced off the road because they never received the sticker that says, price paid, born again, spirit received. We need to step onto that road, even in the heat of the day, and speak the word. Acts chapter 8, verse 26 to 40, Amplified Bible. But an angel of the Lord said to Philip, rise and proceed southward or at midday on the road that runs from Jerusalem down to Gaza. This is the desert route. So he got up and went. And behold, an Ethiopian, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was now returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading the book of the prophet Isaiah. Then the Holy Spirit said to Philip, go forward and join yourself to this chariot. Accordingly, Philip, running up to him, heard the man reading the prophet Isaiah and asked, do you really understand what you are reading? And he said, how is it possible for me to do so unless someone explains it to me and guides me in the right way? And he earnestly requested Philip to come up and sit beside him. Now this was the passage of Scripture which he was reading. Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is dumb, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, he was taken away by distressing and oppressive judgment, and justice was denied him. Who can describe or relate in full the wickedness of his contemporaries, generation? For his life is taken from the earth, and a bloody death inflicted upon him. And the eunuch said to Philip, I beg of you, tell me about whom does the prophet say this, about himself or about someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this portion of Scripture, he announced to him the glad tidings, gospel of Jesus and about him. And as they continued along on the way, they came to some water, and the eunuch exclaimed, see, here is water. What is to hinder my being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, if you have a conviction full of joyful trust that Jesus is the Messiah, and accept him as the author of your salvation in the kingdom of God, giving him your obedience, then you may. And he replied, I do believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he ordered that the chariot be stopped, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing on, he preached the good news, gospel, to all the towns until he reached Caesarea. How are we on this road? Is the middle of the day too hot, especially when this road passes through our own desert, our barren time? Sometimes God uses that very barrenness to highlight just how precious and powerful our walk with him truly is. The sun of distress may beat down on us, and our voices may cry, woe is me, no internet, no phone, no work. Yet in the midst of that, he brings an opportunity to speak his word. The question is, will we take it? The third technician who visited us that week turned out to be a believer, Assemblies of God. He even wanted to buy some of our eggs. I felt the nudge in my spirit and handed him a copy of Power in His Wings. I don't know whether he will read it or what fruit it may bear, but in that moment, a seed was planted. That conversation, unexpected and unscheduled, became a divine appointment. That is what I call an uncommon grace, a moment when God interrupts our normal to sow eternal things. This podcast, this warning sign, is not about fear or condemnation. It is about the clarity that Jesus himself offered. Being born again is not optional. It is not a metaphor. It is a rebirth of the Spirit that enables access to the kingdom of God. Without it, we cannot enter. Without it, we do not carry the seal of adoption as sons and daughters. And if that is not enough reason, then let love be. For we cannot stand the thought of anyone, friend or stranger, being turned away at the gates. Let us be like Nicodemus, humble enough to seek truth, even in the dead of night. Let us be like Philip, obedient enough to run in the desert heat for the sake of a single soul. Let us be like the eunuch, eager enough to say, "What prevents me from being baptized?" Let us be like the third technician, open enough to receive a word, a book, a testimony, and maybe, just maybe, eternity. So I ask you, beloved, have you passed the toll booth? Do you carry the sticker that reads, "Price paid, born again, Spirit received"? If not, don't delay. The road is open, the gate is visible, and the time is now. Let us walk this highway, not merely with good intentions, but with Spirit-filled transformation. Let us fill that road so wide that the Lord must expand it to fit the multitude of souls we bring along. Amen.
Be sure to share the podcast on your favorite social media channels.